This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Oh, bless the Lord. I think if you look in your notice sheets, got a scripture printed out in there from Philippians chapter 4. Just want to read out and that make us start. So Philippians chapter 4, I'm just going to read it out. And we're going to start from verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Father, we just thank you for your word, that the entrance of your word, Lord, brings light, brings life, strength and hope. We thank you, Lord, you sent your word and you healed us, Lord, and delivered us from all of our destructions. That's the absolute truth. And Lord, we want to receive your word with all of our heart and all of our mind, all of our strength this morning. So we pray this and all the glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about a mind stayed on God, or a renewed mind, and how important it is. We just read out of Philippians there how to pray. First of all, the attitude that we're coming to God is in rejoicing always. Remember when Jeremiah was here and he's talking about Paul, when he's in the prison, wrote this actual epistle to the Philippians. He's in prison telling them to rejoice. He's in chains and he's rejoicing, telling them to rejoice. And I think that's the attitude that we come to God. We can, regardless of what's going on in our circumstance. But I want to talk about the importance of the mind. We're to rejoice in the Lord and let our gentleness or our forbearance be known to all, because the Lord's at hand. We know he's coming soon. So it's with that thought in mind that we're not caught up with the things of this world, the agendas and the priorities of this world don't affect us, but they do affect everybody else. It says in the book of Ephesians that we all once walked the course of this world, that we were controlled by the prince of the power of the air, that spirit who is now working in, the Bible says, all the sons of disobedience. It worked. That we were actually controlled by the lusts of our flesh, but it also says the lusts of our mind. Have you ever thought about this, the lust of the flesh? And we all know and we think about how God commands us to repent. You know, that means change the mind. And we think, oh yeah, all the bad things I was doing. No, actually, it's everything you were doing. It was the way you were thinking as well that has to totally change. It's the lust of the flesh. Yes, they're bad. But it's the lust of the mind. And God wants to get our minds cleared up. Do you know that God doesn't think the way we think? Well, Isaiah 55, what does he say? "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." Isn't that half? 99% of our problem with God is that he doesn't think right. No, let me put that right. We don't think right. We start walking with God. We're so excited. He says, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. And in our minds, what do we think? I know exactly what that is. It's, if you're a child, it's lollies every day. Hallelujah. That would be heaven. When I was 6 years old, that would have been absolute heaven. That was my mind. We get a bit older, and it might be something else. Tell you what, the mind is an incredibly powerful thing. I remember I got saved. I was so full of joy for serving Jesus. I wanted to follow him in everything and excited about Jesus. I couldn't stop thinking about him. And so obviously reading the Bible was priority because my prayer was, God, I want to know you. I want to know how you think. Because if you love God, you're going to want to know how he thinks. And then I started finding things that weren't the way I thought. And I found a bit of a conflict there. I said, God, cut me some slack, you know. I've got some things that I would like to do in my mind. And it seems like you don't agree with that. And I remember, actually, Bev, you would remember this. Remember when we were first married, we were in the caravan, serving God, loving God. And I remember I used to have slug guns when I was young, little, and loved guns and slug guns. And I got this thought in my mind about getting another slug gun. I got rid of all my guns, and I got this thought in my mind about getting a slug gun. And so the thought came. And then I thought, I'm going to get some material. So I started exercising this mind. Got all this material on slug guns, all the different makes. And I got onto this make that was a Webley. And this was an amazing slug gun. It had interchangeable barrels. You could get different caliber. So it had two different calibers, a 177, which is standard, and a 22 caliber as well. And I thought, the more I thought about it, the more I meditated, the more I considered this slug gun, I realized that this slug gun was going to make me happy forever. All my troubles were going to go. All of my problems were going to disappear. I would just be in seventh heaven with this slug gun. So, I mean, once you're at that point, you know, the next step, I had to get one. So I got one. I think it lasted, was it did it even get to 3 weeks? You see how patient Bev is? She sees all this stuff. But anyway, I realised how deceptive our own heart can be. The Bible says in James, talking about sin, how sin is first of all thought. Each one is, God tempts nobody. We're all tempted when we're led astray by what? A thought that's planted. And it's just planted here. There's no problem with thoughts coming, but it's what you do with them. It's a problem. When we start to exercise this incredible mind that we've been given and we start to think about things, pretty soon what's going to happen? Conception. That's what it says in James. It talks about conception taking place. That's when it drops into the heart. And it's a conception. And all that's, it's already been birthed, in other words. It's already, not birth, but it's already been conceived. It's already there. It's a reality right now. And the next step is just to fulfill it, the action of it. And, okay, that works in evil desires and sin. It works the other way as well. It works with God. He sends his word. And, you know, when I realised, so that's where most of our struggle is. We're commanded to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. You realise that we're commanded to love God with all of our mind. Well, we know how to... How many times say, I love you, God. I love you, God. And he says, well, why don't you obey me? If you love someone, there's going to be action that backs it up, isn't it? Otherwise, it's just words. You know, we can say, I love you, but unless there's an action that backs it up or reality that backs it up, it's just words. And so God's looking for that reality. You know, half our problem, most of our problem is here. Yeah, God touches our heart, but we don't exercise this mind. We don't love. We don't exercise the mind. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I don't ever listen to anything like bad news or anything like that. But when your whole focus is on something like God and you're meditating on all the time, when those reports come, what does the psalmist say? He said, I will not be afraid of an evil report because my heart is fixed. It's trusting in the Lord. So the report comes, but we're not afraid because what we have been meditating on is the Lord. When you read the Psalms, read Psalm 18, where David, I will love you, O Lord my God. The Lord is my strength. He's my rock. Karen read out Psalm 61. When my heart's overwhelmed, when the evil report comes and I get overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Who is your rock? Where is your fortress? The Bible says that in Isaiah 26, it says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. And it goes on to say, the Lord is an everlasting strength. He's an everlasting rock. So you soon find out where people have been meditating. You know, David, he was the one that he was anointed king. What was David known to be? What was a worshipper? Yeah, he was a worshipper. God makes him king. So what does Jesus say about the Father? What's he seeking today? Those who worship him in spirit, but in truth as well. This mind has to be renewed according to the word of God. The truth. It's the truth. It's this mind that's got to be sanctified and set apart so that we could say, my heart is fixed. It's a mind that stayed on him. That we can build strongholds. You know, the devil builds strongholds in people's mind. You know, Paul, he's talking about the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. And he says the strongholds are vain thoughts, fears, imaginations. Where are they? They're all here. So he comes in to an area and people are controlled by demonic strongholds in their mind. And their fears, they're vain thoughts. They're just controlled by the things of this world. They think that the things of this world, that's all that you've got to live for. And if they haven't got them, there's this panic. They're controlled by them. They don't know how to trust in God because there are strongholds in the mind. Ed Silvoso was a man, an evangelist. He described a stronghold. He said a stronghold is a mindset that's impregnated with hopelessness, which causes us to accept as unchangeable situations in our lives that are contrary to the word of God. So what has Paul said? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. This is 2 Corinthians 10. But they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every thought into obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know. Hey, I used to think of that with the word obedience. I always had a sort of a negative thought towards it. Obedience, you have to beat people into obedience. Using a greater force to make people obedient, all right? So bring in every thought into obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's actually setting people free from strongholds of fear and doubt, vain thinking, proud thoughts. Think of that. It says every proud thought that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. And that controls, it can control our lives. It could be a demonic stronghold. And so when there's a situation in our life and we're crying out to God and we find out that he's our provider, he's our comfort, he's our source, he's our victory, he is everything, and he quickens a word to us, and then we start saying, I'm going to believe that, but this stronghold kicks in our mind of hopelessness in our lives. I want to tell you a story. When I was back many years ago, we were ministering in Indonesia. I went to an island with Gerald, the island of Toraja. It was a particular area there. It's where they built their houses on stilts. And in that area, they had burial sites where they would bury their dead, but they put them in the open. You know, see, look, there's, you know, Grandfather Joe standing up there. He's looking a bit bony at the moment. But they would bury them in the open and sort of almost like worshipping them. But anyway, in this area, we had travelled. I remember a landslide had cut off the road and we're 3 hours delay getting to the place. We finally got to the place and we were praying for the people there, and we had in that place a 3-day seminar planned, and Gerald was going to take that seminar, and it was going to be, I think he was going to do worship, a worship seminar for 3 days. And I remember the day of the start of the seminar, which was starting in the evening, I remember we were praying together and I had this impression that God was going to ask me something. I don't know if you've ever had that sort of, I just knew God was going to ask me to do something. And I've been praying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Risky prayer, watch out for that one. Anyway, so we were praying, and this was probably, might have been 3 hours before the seminar was to start. Gerald suddenly turned to me and he says, God's told me that you've got to do the seminar. And immediately, I had prepared nothing. I hadn't got anything prepared for a seminar. I had no thought of what to do. Two things happened at the same time. As soon as he said that to me, my heart leaped because I knew it was God. Then a word came, and the word was, when you were brought before governors and kings, but it wasn't that part of it that spoke to me. When you were brought to, he said, take no thought beforehand of what you were going to say. Take no thought beforehand about what you were going to say. It will be given to you in that very hour what you are to say by the Holy Spirit. And I experienced a cocoon coming round me. It was that word. And that word was, it will be given to you in that very hour. And I remember this amazing cocoon. It was like I was in a shield. I had peace. Remember that peace of God ruling in your heart and mind. I had this incredible peace. Then I started to exercise my mind a little bit. What am I going to say? What am I going to teach about? And of course, my temptation was to run to the Bible to find something, and I'm not saying that you don't use the Bible, you've got to meditate in it day and night, but God had said something to me that it was going to be given to me in that hour. And these fears were hitting this invisible barrier around. I could feel them, I could see them, that they were wanting to enter in, and if I started to think about and worry about what I'm and take care about what I was going to do and thereby do something by searching for something in my own strength and ability, I knew that that fear would come in. And so what I had to do was just, I'm not going to think about it. God told me not to take any thought. So I waited. And I remember being in this cocoon, and 1 hour goes by, and there's all these fears hitting every so often they come and hit, you better start looking. What are you going to do? What are you going to see? You're going to look like an absolute idiot. You're going to get up there. This is 3 days. You better start looking right now. And so these were coming. 1 hour goes by, 2 hours goes. The third hour comes. I've got nothing, but I'm in this absolute peace. But I knew these fears and anxieties were going to break through if I allowed them, if I started thinking about them. We come to the meeting where they're singing songs, worship. It's getting right down to the last 5 minutes. I've got nothing, but I'm in this peace. I'm in this cocoon. But I tell you what, it would be so easy to absolutely collapse if I started worrying and taking thought. The last 5 minutes, they had these children come up and they were just singing a song in a choir. Beautiful children singing this song. And I remember just looking at their faces. And just halfway through this song, probably there's a couple of minutes and I'm going to be taking this seminar, God speaks to me and says about what I was to talk about. And what I was to talk about was knowing the time of your visitation. And I have never had such a freedom and a liberty to speak. It was like I opened my mouth and he filled it. Like thoughts, his thoughts were just flowing through me. And as I was looking at people, just loving God and allowing him to live and breathe through me, allowing him to take over basically, it was just his thoughts came, his words came, and I'd preach for an hour on this. And at the end of that hour, out of my mouth would come the title of the next evening's message. And this happened day after day. And I've never experienced such a freedom. But I know how important this mind is, that whatever things you're going to be thinking about will affect you, that you can be building yourself negative strongholds in your mind. And so it doesn't matter what God says to you, it's not going to get through there. They've got to be pulled down. Or you can allow what David did. But think about David. Think about this king that God says, I'm going to get this man to lead my people. He's a worshiper. He's a young boy. He's out in the wilderness, just worshiping God. He's got no responsibilities. He's just absolutely free. He's worshiping God, and then nobody knows about it, but he kills a lion and a bear with his bare hands because the Spirit of the Lord, nobody saw that. And then later on, you know, everybody saw the giant that he killed, you know, in the name of the Lord. But he's just, this is worshiping God. And then God tells him, okay, you're going to be king and ruler. And I don't know, about 13 years, he is running for his life. He's experiencing times of severe depression. You know, it says Proverbs, I think it's 25, it says, anxiety or worry or heaviness in the heart of man causes depression. Do you know that? What is it? It's a stronghold. Why do people get depressed? Why was King David constantly in a place of struggling over depression, hopelessness? God said to him, you're going to be king. You're going to rule my people. And then all the thoughts, who are you? Think about it. Who are you? You're a nobody. I'm going to kill you. Look at what's going on. Your own king is trying to kill you. Your own people have rejected you. And then, you know, he's talking about, you read his, you know, what he goes through. But he gets to the point in those circumstances that he starts building strongholds in his mind. He starts saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. Can you hear a man who's saying, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord at all times? Not just when everything's going hunky-dory, thank you very much, but especially in the times when everything goes wrong. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said, the Lord is my rock my fortress, my strong tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. Your victory over the enemy, well, in Christ Jesus, he is our rock. We have already victory over the enemy. And it's a stronghold in the Lord that we need to build in our minds. So we're to love God with all of our mind. How you think is very important to God. And enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. It's a mind that needs to be renewed, a mind that needs to be filled and governed and guarded by the word of God. All right, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. We already know that. God says that the thoughts of man, you know how God describes the thoughts of man? All our wisdom, they're futile. Psalm 94, the thoughts, God knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. So here's Jesus. You know, that's half our problem. Most of our problems, the thoughts of man. We're trying to work it out in our own strength. We're trying to work out God. We're trying to work out the things he does in our own ability. And God says the thoughts of man are futile. So what does God turn around and do? Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. And who does he reveal them to? Little children. What's it about little children? What is it about little children that the Bible says that we've got to become? What's a characteristic of children? Trust. Trust. I mean, there's lots of wonderful, but that's a unique one, isn't it? They just trust. And we're to what? Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, in 50% of our ways, acknowledge him. Man, if we were acknowledging the Lord in 50% of our ways, that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? You're nodding your head too vigorously there, Iris. In all of our ways. So that's our walk, acknowledging the Lord's with us. So why is it? God's in control, isn't he? He works all things together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. Remember I said when we started, 99% of our problem is that we're not thinking the way God thinks. So we start off walking with him and then we run into trouble because we keep trying to change God's thinking. All things work together for good. So all things, and we read that scripture, Philippians, that we're to be anxious for 80%. How about 50%? Anxious for how much? Nothing. You see, you realize where problems come? And I want you to look at your own life. God's actually leading you. He's leading me. Everything that happens in my life, God is with me. And he's trying to teach me in everything in my life. You know, my problem is when I compare myself, I say, well, God, look at Ben. You know, he's not going through that. That's not fair. Why can't I be like Ben and do what Ben's doing? Why don't you bless me like you bless Ben? Totally in the wrong man's thinking. God is with you right now, right where you are, right in your circumstance, he is with you. And the only thing that's going to stop his power and his grace, you know what Paul says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you realize when he said that? He said that at the list of being beaten, being he's going without. He says, I can go without, have nothing to eat, be seemingly abandoned by everybody and everything, or I can have over much. He says, I can do all things in Christ because I know he is with me. My only heart and prayer is for his purpose, for him to be glorified and people to know Jesus Christ, because I love him, not only with all my heart, but with all of my mind as well. God's wanting to give his thoughts to us. He's wanting to show us his thoughts. You know, you can't, you're not going to share your heart with somebody you've just met. You've got to get to know them. Is that true? Well, God's the same. He's got things to share that the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, and it hasn't entered into the heart of man, but God's going to show it to those who love him with all their minds. When I said, I just want to finish with this. When I said about the mind, you know, the kingdom, the first message of the gospel is the kingdom of God, repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. Kingdom's here, right now, right here. The King of glory is here. Think about Jesus when he's in this house. Paul said the power of the Lord was present. God's power is here. It's right here. And there's a house full of Pharisees, all trying to work him out. How is he doing this? What's the key? What's him? It's all about him. Mark, it says, repent and believe the gospel. Repent is changing our mind. Changing, in other words, not just, oh, I did bad things, I'm sorry about the bad things. No, it's changed your mind. The whole way you think has got to change if we want to see an outworking and a believing of the gospel. Hallelujah. We can live. Can we stand up? I want to just give a call for prayer. God says to love him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And you might be in a place where you've realized that I've just let my mind go wherever it wants to go. Pick up a magazine, I take up this. You know, Jesus said, take no thought, it's the same word, take no thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, for your body, what you're going to put on. He says in the last days, it's Luke 21, in the last days, there will be people caught up with the cares of this life. What is it? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Where am I going to live? What kind of a house? What kind of a car? Gee, there's so many cares that Jesus said, the old King James, take no thought. Remember when he said to me, it will take no thought, David, for what you're going to say, it will be given to you. What's that? Just trust. We've got to learn how to trust by bringing this mind into obedience to the Lordship of Jesus. He's Lord. He's risen from the dead and he's Lord. If God's for you, who can be against you? Trust is when you rest in that love. Trust is when you're secure in that love and you can believe him. So if you've got to struggle with your mind and you say, Lord, I'm going to love you with all of your mind, all of my mind, and God's going to demolish those lies and those anxieties and those cares that have taken root in your mind and dropped down and affect in your heart, he's going to deal with them here this morning. As you just lay yourself on the altar and say, Lord, I trust you with all of my heart. Do whatever you need to do to destroy that stronghold in my life. If you want prayer, I'd ask you to come up. And just a reminder, while we're praying in here, if you need to go out, please do. We'll stop the service, but don't just talk in here. If you're staying in here, pray for those at the front. So that God can do his work in every heart. Father, we thank you. We just thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, we want to be a people who will bless you at all times, who rejoice in you all the time and continually, Lord, trusting and relying and leaning upon you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for touching our hearts. And now I pray, continue that work within each one of us, Lord, that we might bring you glory, that all men everywhere will see where our hearts are fixed, see where our attention is given, Lord, and look to you as well. Or even better than that, be able to taste of you and see that you are good. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.